Chapter 5. Qui-Gon wakes up feeling more rested than he honestly expected, slowly coming to as the light does. They seem to run on timers, the plant lights, and turning his head to the side, he can see through the open doorway how the lights are slowly coming on in the corridor as well, one by one lighting up the veritable forest outside. It had been surprisingly soothing to sleep in the quiet sound of bubbling water. When he'd closed his eyes, it had almost felt like napping in the room of a thousand fountains, with the smell and feel of plants all around, and the sound of a slow, steady trickle of water. Definitely far more calming than he'd honestly expected, given the situation. Hopefully Anakin hadn't had trouble sleeping. The boy would be far less used to the constant sound of water. He hadn't seemed distressed, and had assured Qui-Gon he was just fine, even excited, to have a cabin just to himself. Closing his eyes again, Qui-Gon feels at the other cabin, gently reaching for Anakin in the Force. The boy is still fast asleep, his rest dreamless and deep. Good, the Jedi Master thinks. And then rises from the bed to do his morning meditation. By the time he steps out of his cabin to seek the fresher, and perhaps, if his luck is on his side, some tea to start the day, the whole spaceship is lit. There is a droid going about its business up in the ceiling line, checking over the plants there and taking samples off them in a steady, adjusted rhythm, plant by plant. Qui-Gon watches it go about its business curiously, but doesn't disturb it. Chances are the sample taking is an important part of the ship's routine. Better not to disturb it. The fresher is empty, but the sonic shower there has some hint of moisture glistening in the glass, separating it from the rest of the fresher, so he's not the first up, it seems. Qui-Gon goes through his morning ablutions quickly, combing his fingers through his hair and binding it back before setting out for the kitchen instead. He is indeed not the first up, and despite having been prepared for it, Qui-Gon finds himself stopping in surprise to stare. Obi-Wan Kenobi is standing by the tanks, his back to the door, dressed in only a pair of tight-fitting slacks and nothing else, with his hair done up in a messy bun and his beard still wet, fresh off the shower. He's doing something with the tank controls idly. There's a monitor screen on the wall, and in his hand he has a cup of what looks like tea. Of course it only makes sense. This ship is Kenobi's home, after all, and people tend to be casual about their living spaces. Still, it's stunning, somehow, to see the man standing there, barefooted, with tan lines on his neck and arms, bared all the way down to the waist. Kenobi is not, Qui-Gon realizes quietly, somewhat uneasily, an unhandsome man. There's tea in the pot if you want, Kenobi says, without turning to look, tapping something into the screen instead. Thank you, Qui-Gon says, smothering the urge to clear his throat awkwardly, and goes to get himself a cup. Do you grow tea here? I used to, but I couldn't get the taste right, Kenobi admits, and the controls he's been tinkering with make a beep. It always ended up too mild for my tastes. Qui-Gon says. Not sure what to say to that, so he concentrates on pouring the tea. It's Cassius, it turns out. Next to that, anything would taste mild, he muses as he takes a seat by the kitchen table. I guess I should get started on breakfast, Kenobi muses, and turns away from the tanks, scratching at his scalp. I can do that, if you show me where to get foodstuffs, Qui-Gon offers, glancing at him and then looking down at his teacup. You must have a lot of work. Nothing really pressing right now, Kenobi says, and walks over to the counter to refill his cup. But I might as well show you the cooler and what not to touch there. Some of the stuff in there are samples I'm taking back for more in-depth analysis. You keep your samples and your food stuff in the same cooler? Qui-Gon asks, arching his eyebrows. I know to keep them separate, Kenobi says flatly, giving him a look and then walking over to the table. Even barefooted, he makes noise as he walks, his heels thumping against the metal floor heavily. He sits down and looks at Qui-Gon. If you want to buy me another cold storage, be my guest. The damn things are expensive. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to criticize, Qui-Gon offers, smothering the urge to sigh. The last day had gone not terribly, so he'd rather hoped they might have found some sort of stability between them, or at least achieved a level of polite cordiality. But perhaps it's not that simple after all. Kenobi says, and takes a drink of his tea, looking away at the tanks. Qui-Gon looks the same way, watching the fish idly swim around the column of coral growing in the tanks, flickering about the plastoid plants. Why the fake plants? Qui-Gon asks, hoping for a topic of conversation that doesn't leave him with his foot in his mouth. In the tanks, I mean. If the water is good enough to feed plants outside the tanks, then surely it should be good enough for underwater plants as well. The point is to get the nutrients out, not to waste them on plants inside, Kenobi says, and then makes a face, running a hand over his beard, smoothing it down momentarily. When I started in on aquaponics, I was trying to do an in-depth study on how to balance the system properly, and in most aquaponic setups, people don't exactly keep their fish in aquariums. They're kept just in tanks or pools, not so much as rock to decorate them. So adding in underwater plants into my system would have imbalanced the study. I see, Qui-Gon says thoughtfully. So setup like yours is not typical? For a semi-serious hobbyist, maybe. Kenobi shrugs and drinks his tea. For a proper aquaponics farm that's supposed to feed thousands and thousands of people, they don't exactly worry about aesthetics. What people want is crop efficiency and as little maintenance as possible. The base structure is the same, really. But I waste a lot of good space with the coral, and my fish aren't exactly typical aquaponic stock either. Qui-Gon nods slowly. He has seen hydroponics and aquaponics farms. In Coruscant alone, there are thousands of such farms, and the Jedi Temple has a hydroponics garden. He's never really thought about what sort of upkeep they may have. So you specialize in hydroponics and aquaponics? He asks curiously. Kenobi looks at him, thoughtful. No, he says then. I specialize in regenerative agriculture and disaster restoration, mainly on collapse of agricultural infrastructure. I see, Qui-Gon says, rather helpless. I don't know what that means precisely, he admits then. Kenobi snorts. When an existing agricultural system collapses, they send me to figure out why. He clarifies. When a planet has a natural disaster and they're about to starve, they send me to help them set up emergency food production. Sometimes I also help start in colonies and set up farms. That sort of thing. Agricultural emergency relief. Qui-Gon nods slowly. I thought that was the purpose of AgriCorps as a whole, he says thoughtfully. Yes and no, Kenobi says, and shrugs. AgriCorps do a lot of things. This sort of stuff is just the most public part of it, the part people know of. Qui-Gon sips his tea, looking at him curiously. Well, it explains the ship, more or less. Working on such arduous tasks, Kenobi probably needs to haul in a lot of cargo to his mission locations. Also, bringing his own food production to potentially famine-stricken planets must be a great help, too. Do you mind if I ask about what sort of missions you have had? Qui-Gon asks. Kenobi looks at him, frowning a little, and then looks away. Recently, I was on a world called Fetlan-La, recent addition to the Republic, he says. There was some hassle with colonization and such before the locals got their independence. Formerly pre-industrial society, they were taught farming just 100 or so years ago, and not terribly well. They had a huge population boom and turned the planet into a dust bowl inside 50 years. Dust bowl? Qui-Gon asks, frowning. It's when you farm the topsoil to death, essentially, Kenobi says, waving a hand. Massive deforestation, too many monocrops, no rotation, no proper irrigation, no windbreaks, so on and so on. The soil turns dry and dusty. Enough of it, and it messes up weather. Which it did. Less rains, more wind, lots of dusty, dry earth. Fetlan-La is on brink of becoming a desert world now, thanks to the fact that they farmed it to ruin. Qui-Gon's eyebrows arch at that. That's something that can happen in such a short time. You put enough effort to farming something just the right amount of wrong, and you kill a decent-sized planet inside a century, yeah, Kenobi says, and arches his eyebrows. Why do you think we have so many livable desert planets with viable atmospheres? On their own, desert worlds can't produce atmosphere. You need to have had plants for that. A lot of plants. The desertification comes after. Qui-Gon answers, leaning back. He thinks they might have read about it once, for a mission, perhaps. To think agriculture can have such an impact on a world. But then, with enough people and enough work, you can transform a world in a million ways. It only makes sense that agriculture itself can be a cause of disaster as well. That is very interesting, he muses. Guess you could call it that, Kenobi says, giving him a look, and then draining his teacup. I'm getting hungry. Stir fry sound good to you? I have no preference, really. Anything you feel like making is fine, Qui-Gon says, and drains his cup as well. Please, allow me to help. Kenobi sighs and sits up, stretching.
Fine. Let me get a shirt first, he says.
Qui-Gon glances at him, down at his lightly downy chest and flat stomach, and then away before he can trace the trail of hair down to the waistline of the younger man's trousers.
Certainly,
he says, and clears his throat.
I can wait.
They arrive at the headquarters of the Jedi Service Corps Agricultural Branch a little after noon. Qui-Gon had known in the vaguest terms of knowing that the AgriCorps HQ was a space station, but he hadn't expected it to be quite like it was. Shaped a little like a spindle, the station is marked by rings of what looks like one continuous greenhouse that wraps around the entire station. While Qui-Gon and Anakin watch in amazement, Kenobi steers them in with a gesture hand, hitting the comms as soon as they get within range.
Tower Control, this is Specialist Obi-Wan Kenobi on board the Verdant, requesting landing in a hangar, preferably on or near Dock 5.
Over.
He speaks to the comms, and waits until he gets a response.
Specialist Kenobi, please send in your landing details and cargo manifest. Over.
A female voice requests through the comms. Sending info in now. Over. Kenobi answers and waits.
Very good, Specialist Kenobi. You may land in the Dock 5, pad number 12. We'll send some people in to help you unload your cargo. Welcome back to the greenhouse. Tower Control, over and out.
Kenobi sets the comms down, and then grabs the steering instead and takes them in.
That thing is huge, Anakin murmurs. You live here?
I used to. Now I'm away more than I'm in, Kenobi admits. If AgriCorps have a home, though, the greenhouse is it.
The station is massive, the closer they get. Easily a kilometer in length, it must be easily big enough to support tens of thousands of people. Though Qui-Gon had known about the place, he hadn't really expected it to be so big. It's nothing compared to the Jedi Temple in Coruscant, of course, but it is still very big.
What happens when we get on board the station? Qui-Gon asks.
I'll unload my cargo, send the samples I'm carrying off to wherever they need to go. That'll take a couple of hours, Kenobi answers.
You can do whatever you want in the meantime. The greenhouse isn't exactly a tourist location, but there's still stuff to see if you want to have a look around. There's even a commercial level.
Should we seek accommodations on board the station? Qui-Gon asks, frowning a little, wondering if Kenobi has rooms on the station, in the way a Jedi Knight would have rooms in the temple.
The Verdant isn't going anywhere, Kenobi shrugs.
I always find it easier to just stay on board the ship, even while I'm on the station. It saves me the hassle.
Qui-Gon nods slowly.
They land soon after, sliding in through an energy field into the pressurized landing docks, where Kenobi lands the Verdant on the appropriate landing pad. The Specialist goes through motions of systems checkup on the ship, and then shuts off her engines. The ever-present hum fades, and they're left in quiet, with only the bubbling of the hydroponics and sound of cooling metal in their ears.
Right, Kenobi says, and locks the controls, standing up. I'm off to unload my cargo.
Can we help? Anakin asks, looking up at him.
Kenobi hesitates and sighs.
Fine, come on, he says. The stuff I need to get out of the cold storage, you might as well help me carry it out.
Qui-Gon nods in agreement, and he and Anakin follow Kenobi to the walking cold storage, where Kenobi points out boxes to them, marked with various tags and plastoid stickers that seem to indicate various laboratories they're being sent into.
What's in these? Anakin asks, while Qui-Gon hands him one of the lighter boxes.
Samples of plants, seeds, soils, water, compost.
Kenobi shrugs and hauls up a box himself.
Boring shit. Sometimes literally.
Come on, I'll show you where to take these.
There are empty crates waiting in the Verdant's cargo hold, which seem to have limited insulation capabilities. With Kenobi's instructions, Qui-Gon and Anakin pile up the boxes inside, to be taken eventually elsewhere and distributed to wherever they need to go by the station staff. In the meanwhile, Kenobi starts unwrapping the crates in the cargo hold to push them over to the hatch to be transported down from the ship. Whatever is in those crates, Qui-Gon supposes it doesn't require cold storage.
AgriCorps work seems to involve a lot of laboratory testing, he muses, and hauls in another box of samples into the awaiting crate.
There are people waiting down in the docks when Kenobi lowers the hatch for the first time, loaded to the brim with various crates.
Anything to cold in these, Kenobi?
Someone shouts from below, while the specialist leans over the edge to see.
No, I'm still loading the cold ones up. All this stuff can do in room temp, Kenobi answers. My number 8, though. Not a glass in that one.
Got it. The station staff answers, and the crates are ushered off.
In total, unloading the ship takes about an hour. What had looked like not that much cargo
turns into quite a deal of it when it's all unwrapped and sent down, and Verdant's cargo elevator is rather slow. Do you always have this much cargo to unload when you come in? Qui-Gon asks curiously, as they watch the last crates being lowered and accepted below by station staff.
This isn't really that much. My hold's mostly empty, Kenobi says with a shrug as he rummages through his pockets.
That was the last of it. I'm going to go grab some things off the labs and then I'm off to report.
Here,
he says, and lobs something at Qui-Gon. A remote controller.
It's for the cargo hatch.
Thank you, Qui-Gon says, considering the controller and then hiding it away in his tunics.
They're supposed to be observing Kenobi at work. However, it's rather obvious Kenobi doesn't want them underfoot right now. No doubt he has friends to see, as well as superiors to report to. And he doesn't want Qui-Gon there, listening in on his lamentations that will no doubt be about them and their situation.
Can we go see the rings? Anakin asks eagerly. With the forests inside them?
Qui-Gon frowns. The greenhouses? He asks, and looks at Kenobi. Is that possible?
Kenobi nods.
Yeah, they're open for viewing, and there's guides all over the place. We get schools touring this place all the time, so everything is pretty well marked for tours.
You are going to need money if you want to eat out, though, he then says.
Qui-Gon hesitates. I see,
he says, trying to recall whether he has credits or not.
He hadn't thought to request funds before this mission started.
I'm certain we'll be fine. Is there a way to contact you if something occurs?
Kenobi hesitates and then sighs.
Right, he says. Give me a moment. I'll get you a comm. Qui-Gon and Anakin wait while Kenobi heads into the ship interior, getting whatever he needs from the labs before coming back with a couple of data pads and a set of comms. He hands one of them to Qui-Gon.
I'm probably going to be busy for the rest of the day, Kenobi says, while pushing a small plastoid bag of what looks like dried leaves into his pocket. So feel free to not contact me unless it's an emergency.
I'll make sure not to do so then, Qui-Gon says, frowning a little, and then putting the comms unit away.
Do you know how long we will be staying here?
He asks then, quietly worried.
Considering the trouble Kenobi had gone through to get them on board his ship, going all the way to Coruscant to fetch them, he doesn't think the man would just turn around and leave them here, but
a day at least, Kenobi says, and trundles onto the cargo hatch.
Maybe two. We'll see.
I'll let you know if something comes up.
All right.
Qui-Gon nods and looks down at Anakin.
What say you we go exploring the station in the meanwhile?
Yes, please, Anakin says eagerly, and quickly hops onto the cargo hatch beside Kenobi. Hey, are there other aquaponic stuff in here? The boy asks. Like yours?
Not like mine, but on the fourth ring, there's an aquaponics farm that feeds the whole station, Kenobi says. It's a lot bigger than my setup, and they give tours and talks on how it works. You could go have a look if you'd like.
Can we? Anakin asks, eyes wide as he turns to Qui-Gon.
I don't see why not,
Qui-Gon admits, stepping onto the cargo hatch as well, considering the boy. Anakin's preoccupation with the fish was getting not precisely worrisome, but definitely marked.
Well, he thinks, it's healthier than pod racing at any rate. And considering the world Anakin comes from, interest in such things is understandable.
A desert planet, Qui-Gon thinks, recalling what Kenobi had said about desertification of worlds. and for the first time, wonders about the actual history of Tatooine, and how the world ended up the way it had, with standard atmosphere and next to no plant life to speak of. I'm sure there's plenty of interesting things to see here, Qui-Gon muses, as the cargo hatch lowers, wondering if a holonet terminal might be one of them. He thinks he'd like to look into the history of Anakin's homeworlds, if it has even been written down, being so far removed from the Republic as it is. Kenobi jumps down from the hatch as soon as they get close to the ground, and waits until Qui-Gon and Anakin are off as well before closing the hatch, sending it lifting back up and onto the ship with a remote of his own. "I'll see you sometime later, I expect," Kenobi says, and doesn't sound like he much looks forward to it. "Yes, I hope you have a productive day, Specialist Kenobi," Qui-Gon says, and bows his head slightly. "May the Force be with you." Kenobi blinks at that, and some of his posture eases. "You as well, Master Jin," he says with a nod. "Anakin," he adds, nodding to the boy as well. Then, after a moment of hesitation, he whirls on his heel and walks off, approaching a cluster of awaiting attendants who are looking through his cargo. "Well," Qui-Gon says, and looks at Anakin, who is all but bouncing with excitement. "Shall we go have a look around?"